Let's do it.
Radio.
Oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. It is 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Roan and the crew. I'm coming to you live. We got part two of Artificial Intelligence versus African Intelligence with Brother Kevin Land, Willie Lynch, Kwanzaa, Be The One, and much, much more. As well. Join us today because there is no greater, no better love than for self and greater love. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you, brothers and sisters, and welcome to African American Empowerment Saturday. It is, again, 365 days of that good old beautiful knowledge and information for our people. Again, the more we know, the more we grow. The more we learn, the more we churn. The more we churn, the more we earn. We got to think about it that way, right? There are tenets that we must learn as African Americans. So I want you to think about it this way, in this regard, that as you think about the structures that were put in place for people of color in this country, specifically African Americans is what they entitle us, colored, Negro, you name it, descendants of Africans in the diaspora in the United States specifically, right? And the things that we've gone through systemically, we now have to put ourselves in position successful or positions of success. How do we do this? It's a five-step process, right? The first step is having a political agenda. That means that you must understand how American and international and national politics work, how systems work, right? So, again, I want you to think about it this way. Y'all free. Go ahead. And they don't tell you anything about how things work. And we have to educate ourselves on how the systems work in this culture, in this society, and then be able to manage and navigate and teach and train our people, right, to move around the obstacles, to navigate the system, right? So understanding the law and how it works, the legal system, the political parties, and how they all work and their interest, and how we must understand how to, I would say, unify, right? That's Brother Booker's word, to get to a political position where we begin to navigate resources, which is then the economic piece, right? Because those systems are all working, right? When you think about the systems of incarceration or the system of justice, they're all financial systems, right? So it all goes back to economics. Politics and economics work together. So when we talk about economics, we're talking about capitalism, right? Understanding how capitalism works, and then how to navigate that system, understanding the dollar and how it works. We must understand how to utilize these resources to build, one, institutions that define our own reality. If that's schools, is that workshops, is that workforce development centers, whatever it is that we need to utilize resources to develop, to enhance our people, to create jobs and opportunities, that is what we need to do. And from an economic standpoint, we need resources coming in and out of our community, not just flowing out, right, but coming in and circulating before it goes out as we build dollars and resources to be able to finance anything that we need within our communities for our people to better our people. Here's the A. I'm spelling P, so I already gave you P, E, down to A. It's individual now. It's your athletics. It's your health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. Are you taking care of yourself? Again, your health is your wealth. You have to have a fitness regimen, right? You got to not necessarily work out, but you got to have a program of where you're going to walk, where you're going to strengthen your body, right, keep those muscles strong, but also the diet that you have. You have to be able to make sure that your diet and your dietary regimen is tight, right? That means that you got to stay away from those things that make us sick. And again, I always say we lead the league in health disparities because many of our people are sick and on medications, right? So we have to do a better job of taking care of our wealth in terms of health, right? And we're going to have to do that. So take care of yourself, get a routine, get a fitness routine, join a gym membership. If you can't afford it, then go out and walk. If you can't do that, then you can sit right in the house in a chair or go up and down your stairs or pace back and forth or do some things in your kitchen or in your living room, right? There are ways that we could do that to help ourselves in the end. And now let's see. Relevant cultural programs like this one and the Kwanzaa Fest that we went to, for example, right? And there's so many things that we can learn culturally to give ourselves as we learn, right, the uttermost parts of what it is that we can do to enhance ourselves, right, culturally, right, to make us feel better about who we are. And we know that in this system, they've made us feel bad about who we are, what we look like. And now we can transcend that and say culturally and historically, we're okay, right? Why are they knocking the noses off of statues, for example? Because it's your nose. It's the noses of your ancestors, but you have to know who you are. Let me pass that. Now, education, just the E. Comprehensive education that really looks at how we can develop ourselves even more, right? Educating ourselves literally, right, to be able to have those tools that we need to enhance ourselves. And that's the development that we need, and that's the work that we're doing. Join us, www.naaea.weebly.com. And that is most important, that we get your support as we work together to enhance ourselves each day, every day, one day at a time. And now, back in a moment. Be right back.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Yes, indeed. Brother Stan is right. But somebody's asking, is he going to play that every week, right? Yes, absolutely. I sure am. Until we get it, yeah. Institutions that define our own reality. Stop trying to get in and fit in and know your role, right? All of us have gifts, talents, and abilities to build a great community and a great society within ourselves, right? And as we work to eradicate poverty and mental health issues and dysfunction, we can do it, right? The whole thing is to be able to have tools and strategies that's going to help us do that. And that's our work, and we have to continue to do that work. So that's the Stan Macklin moment. That's my brother. He's passed away, but he's not far away. He's not going. His words still resonate with us as we continue to do that work of working on ourselves each day, every day, one day at a time. And now for my favorite segment of the show, it's the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with my brother George. Oh, yeah. Bring it. Mm-hmm. I see you. Sister Benita.
Bring it.
Breaking up a little bit.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well today. How are you, sir?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, today's Kwanzaa principle is going to be Imani, faith. To believe with all our heart in our parents, our teachers, our leaders, our people, and the righteousness of our struggle. As you know, we just recently, you know, had a celebration, and we had a great time there. I always learn something new and experience something different whenever I go to a Kwanzaa, and I encourage anyone who hasn't to start, and anyone who went to continue to go, to continue to support us as people. Imani, one of the most important and meaningful of the Dikra symbols. Jai Nami. It simply translates, accept God. One interpretation is, no one has seen the world from its beginning. No one will see the end except God. It is symbolic of the spirit within each of us, through which we can elevate ourselves to a new level of consciousness self-actualization. I think that Brother Kevin Lane will speak on that today. Okay, now at the end of last week, there was a person that asked the question in Slido, the name of the book. And so I'm reading out of the same book, and it's called The Journey of the Song Guy People. Some say Song Gay. I pronounce it Song High. Now, those who wrote the book are Calvin R. Robinson, Redmond Battle, and Edward W. Robinson, Jr. So I think the Robinsons might be related to each other, but those are the ones that put this work together. Journey, the Journey of the Song Guy People. And as y'all know, they were Moors, and I'm saying that we're the Song Guy People as well. Now, I was talking about black hair, and I started with a definition, you know, that describes the difference between the straight hair or the ape-like hair and the evolved hair of the Homo sapiens. A reason for evolved hair. True black men and women with evolved hair must have been mighty few 20,000 years ago, and only in Africa, where mutation never slowed down, where mutation change is protective to the species, as it evolved hair selection for protection increases geometrically. Today, afroid hair has increased to more than 7% of the world population. However, we must not why hair is on the head in the first place. Protection and nature went all out to protect the African brain. Let me go back. However, we must never forget why hair is on our head in the first place. It's there for protection. And nature went all out to protect the African brain. Could it be that nature is trying to tell us something? A strange-looking brother said to me once, one day, when we have shed our brainwash, have shed the foreign religions of Islam, Christianity, pure light will emanate from our children. I had never seen him before, and I have never seen him since. Could it be to tell us something about our brain's evolution? Now, I talked about that because, like, that's a deep subject that would take. You need to really go into it deeper to understand. It's only a few people with the kinky hair on the head. And so really, it's there, and it shows that you have something superior, not inferior. So I wanted to read directly from someone who did the research. But I encourage you to do even more research to find out the superiority of your hair. And so, Brother Marvin, you know, like I said, that's a subject that is very deep, and someone that is much more educated than myself to explain it deeper. But I just wanted to give a brief overview of the difference in hair, and that the fact that we actually have the superior hair And that's why it's only a few people on the planet who have it. So we can move on, you know, to the question of the week. You know, I hope I answered, you know, did what was what I said I would do about black hair.
Done well, brother. Done well. Thank you for the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. And now for the African-American empowerment question of the week. It goes to faith, right? What do we need in terms of faith right now, more than ever, as people of color in this country?
Well, I think that we need to understand the roots of where spirituality came from. Because once you know the truth, then you can understand a name, or like Christianity, or like Judaism, that's not your spirituality. That's not your spirituality, because you have a connection with God that's totally yours. And so that's why we really never promoted a religion until these knowledge of God turned it into a religion and forced other people to accept it. But we already have an understanding of the one God and of the spirit that was with him that was very powerful. We classified it as but a small God, that's not the spring God earth. And so we need to really focus more on that rather than a Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or Christ or Judith. We need to focus on that which is within each and every one of us, and we should be trying to connect that up as a group to put us back to the point where we were at one time, which were the scientific people of the world. So I hope that answers your question.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. I appreciate that. And as always, thank you so much for your help, support, and assistance. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to introduce to you what Sister Sharonda Macklin Stan's daughter, her name is Tremue now, but she said to me this week, "Brother Marvin, we got to have crazy faith." Introduce to our listeners in terms of faith, Imani, the Kwanzaa principle, that we begin to have crazy faith. And so as folk want to act crazy in so many different ways, I'm suggesting that we be crazy, but in a way that enhances our faith, enhances our growth, and make us better citizens, right, in our belief systems and for our next generation and for our children. So walk today crazy faith and begin to believe that you are someone special. Again, join us 845-277-9250 if you want to call in. Also, Slido is in effect today. The number you want to get a pen, 31-576 Slido.com 31-50-276 Slido is in effect. Go out there and make a comment, make a statement, make a thought, and contribute to the show today. Brother Kevin Land is coming up in just a minute. So as we venture into this conversation of part two of what it is that African intelligence versus artificial intelligence, or artificial intelligence versus African intelligence, part two, we bring Brother Kevin Land in to give us the word for today on our online classroom. Going nowhere. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, African. I have it on speaker, so if I go in and out, let me know so I can take it off speaker, but don't let me continue to speak and I'm going in and out or you can't hear me. please stop me so I can start over. Can you hear me clearly?
I got you coming in loud and clear, brother, loud and clear. Thank you so much. What you got for us today?
All right, well, right now, I got, before I get into my presentation, I'm on Spido. Is it called Spido? It's Slido, Slido. And I'm going to answer this first question I see on Slido by Anonymous. How do you define African intelligence? How do you define African intelligence? Let's first of all define intelligence. Intelligence is the ability to learn and deal with new things. So we have to be able to foresee what's coming down the road 10, 20, 30 years away. Most of my presentation starts with theories. The theories aren't facts, but theories are based on facts. You have to have facts to support your theory. Frances Quest Weldon had to have facts to support her theory of color, I think it's color confrontation, I think it's the title of it. Einstein had to have some facts to support his theory of relativity. When I spoke last week about artificial intelligence, is it possible for AI, artificial intelligence, to become a citizen? I developed some facts to support my theory, and I was able to support those facts successfully. This is what Africans have done. We have to do it from an African perspective. Kwanzaa Kajufu and his counting the conspiracy to destroy black boys. He was dealing with things in the African community and how to resolve these particular situations. Kaji Woodson used his education and he wrote The Miseducation of the Negro. So we have to do the same thing. See what's before us. Develop some ways to resolve certain situations from an African perspective. AI, artificial intelligence, is here. It's not going away. We have to find ways to use it for our betterment and not to our detriment. That's the answer to that question. The last time I talked to you was yesterday. I talked about, and before I get to that part, every speaker is different. I like comments more so than questions because I usually speak 2 hours and there should be equal exchange. I want you to know anything I said has impacted you anyway. So when I finish speaking, the first person I want you to call, Brother Marvin, if he's online, is Reggie. Because the last time I spoke, Reggie had a contribution to make. I don't mind questions, but I don't like people continue to try to pick my brain when I don't have no more intelligence than anyone else. A lot of people have knowledge and hold on to the knowledge. If you give away, like I'm doing, more will be given to you. So I want someone to make comments. And I'll be going through Slido, pick out a few questions. But I really appreciate if someone have comments. My latest book is titled, I'm not getting to my presentation yet. My latest book is titled, Speeches, Stories, and Just Chewing the Fat. Speeches, Stories, and Just Chewing the Fat. I always write nonfiction. I only read nonfiction. I don't read fiction. But I realize comedians and humorists like Mark Twain and George Carlin use art to get a political agenda across. a lot of times chameleons can get away with things that most people can't get away with. So most people who heard me speak heard the serious side. Most people haven't heard the humorous side. I've won numerous awards at in humorous speech contests. I won just as many awards in humorous speeches as I've won in serious presentations. So my latest book still deals with culture, history, all aspects of people's culture, history, religion, politics, economics, social order, creativity, and psychology. Although it's a humorous book, although it's a non-fictional story, fictionalized, I'm telling some truth in it. I'm going to borrow a few things from this book without telling you the entire book. In the politics section, I think that the president and living in the White House should follow the same guidelines that we, the people, have to follow. We have to rent houses. We have to buy houses. We have to rent apartments. In my book, I wrote that the White House shouldn't be a given. You should have to put an application for the White House just like we do. List all your income and your assets, such as golf resorts, hotels, casinos, strip clubs, the state of Mississippi. All your assets should be listed. Now, the White House, approximately the value of the White House is $90 million. So in my book, I have the rent at $600,000 a month. Just like when we apply for apartments, your monthly income should be 2 to 3 times what the rent is. So if the rent is $600,000 a month, then your monthly income should be that. I also have, you got to put down security deposit, child support payment, alimony, all those things. You have to list your resources, list your income, list all sources of income, Girl Scout cookies, lemonade stands, all those things. So I'm adding a little humor to it. I'm also dealing with politics. I'm putting dates in there. Things that actually happen. I put a humor spin on it like Mark Twain did in King Leopold's Soliloquy. That's how he got away with it. He was telling on the big money people. He was talking about what they were doing to Africans in the Congo. But he was doing it humorously. But he was speaking the truth. And that's what I'm doing in my latest book. So enough of that. Let's get into today's presentation. You ready, Brother Marvin? Brother Marvin, can you hear me?
Ready. Yes, sir. I'm ready.
All right. Today's presentation, artificial intelligence versus African intelligence, part two, ethics. Artificial intelligence versus African intelligence, part two, ethics. The last time I was here, I proved it was possible for artificial intelligence to gain U.S. citizenship. Artificial intelligence, such as Alexa, was born in the United States. If you don't know what Alexa is, it's a virtual assistant. You have to say, Alexa, and then ask your question. Alexa would then voice her response. Alexa is considered a person by Black's Law Dictionary definition, where it states, a person is a man, a woman, an artificial intelligence. Alexa's mother is Amazon. Amazon was born out of the mind of Jeff Bezos, who was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico. New Mexico is a state in the United States. Therefore, Alexa is a U.S. citizen and a U.S. national, meaning she belongs to a nation. She is a person, and she has a birth certificate. She was born November the 6th, 2014. Since the last time I was here, there have been debates about whether computers in the future will have emotions. Some maintain it an impossibility, whereas others claim it is very possible. In the early 1950s, U.S. President Eisenhower was shown the first UNIVAC supercomputer. He asked the computer this question: is there a God? After some time, the computer's lights started flashing, and tape reel spinning came back with the answer: there is now. This means the computer, like our brain, must be fed information. Once that information is stored in a computer, then there's output. This is how the computer, displaying emotions, may probably work. George weeps because his dog died. By using the information already in the computer, and that is George weeping when his dog died, the next time the computer sees a picture of a dog without movement, it weeps. This is done not because the computer feels for the loss of the dog, but because it sees something previously introduced into its brain, the computer's brain, the computer's memory. And that was how George reacted when his dog was without movement. The problem with this is the computer will also weep when the dog is just sleeping. Now you have misinformation. Artificial intelligence are corporations, therefore persons. If a corporation is biased, prejudiced, or racist, then AI will be programmed that way. Even an omission may lead to misrepresentation. As for the programmer may not know that business stakeholders gave the developer racist goals. What's the difference between the developer and the programmer? What's the difference between the developer and the programmer? Developers meet with stakeholders to discuss business goals and help translate those goals into technical specifications. Programmers tend to focus on interpreting those plans and writing the code to accomplish the outlined task. So the programmer might not know the stakeholders were communicating to the developer racist ideas. Artificial intelligence is not bad. Bad teacher. There's no such thing as bad AI, only bad teachers. I took that position when working with troubled youth. I said, not bad student, bad teacher. When I said bad teacher, I'm not speaking of a particular personality. I'm talking about a system that is supposed to foster learning and is not doing so. Remember, Frankenstein was not the monster. Frankenstein was the doctor, the teacher. I saw this movie about a boy in India who was found among the wolves. He apparently had been raised by them. They called him Wolf Boy because he walked on all fours, ate meat raw, and made sounds like a wolf. Doctors from all over the world came to see this strange specimen. During this time period, the late 1800s, the popular opinion around the world was you were a product of your environment. If your parents were criminals, you were going to be a criminal. If the outlaw Jesse James was your dad, you were going to be an outlaw. As far as the experts were concerned, this boy was a wolf, and he could not be helped. One doctor begged to differ. He believed if you took a person out of a hostile environment, gave him love, and nurtured him, he would adapt to his new environment. The foreign doctors disagreed. You're wasting your time. That boy's a wolf, they said. Then the optimistic doctor said, give me 6 months. I believe I can turn the boy around. So the doctor, with optimism, worked with the boy. Initially, the boy was stealing chickens out of the chicken coop and eating them raw. The doctor got the boy to sit at the table and use a fork and spoon. The boy washed his body with his tongue. The doctor showed him how to use a washcloth. He showed the boy a book. He gave him Iceman Inheritance. I threw that one in there. He gave him the Iceman Inheritance. The boy said, look, I like books. Every day, and without directing the boy to do so, the boy would use the washcloth to bathe, silverware to eat. And after he finished eating, he would pick up Iceman Inheritance. Book. I like book. After 6 months, the doctor concluded, you got it. I can teach you no more. The doctor, with optimism, called the foreign doctors back. One of the foreign doctors picked up the book and asked, what is this? The boy answered, I don't know. Another doctor said, let me try. Your ugly face is probably scaring the boy. He too holds the book up and said to the boy, what is this? Again, the boy answered, I don't know. Then the doctor, who had been working with the boy for the past 6 months, held the book up and said, what is this? The boy answered, I don't know. You do know. We've been working on this for the past 6 months, his doctor yelled. I don't know, cried the boy. The foreign doctor said, this is a joke. We told you he was a wolf, and they went back to France, England, wherever they came from. When the foreign doctors left, the doctor who had been teaching the boy, held his head down between his legs. He couldn't figure out what went wrong. The boy then goes to the table, picks up Iceman Inheritance, and said, "Book, book, book. I like book." The doctor said, "Why didn't you say that when those men were here?" The boy answered, "They didn't pick up this one. They picked up that one." Again, not bad student, bad teacher. The teacher failed to tell the boy that this is a book and everything that looks like it is a book. The only book he held up for 6 months was Iceman Inheritance. I said all this to say artificial intelligence is not bad. Bias, prejudice, and racist minds are the problem. Again, there are some programmers who are not well informed on how a program can be racist. They may not know the stakeholders communicating to the developers are racist. Example, I borrowed this from biochemist Rick Kittle 20, 30 years ago. Here's an example. AI, at trying to find a cure for cancer, if AI only experiments with male mice and not female mice, AI is sexist. At trying to find a cure for cancer, if AI only experiments with white mice and not black mice, AI is racist. Artificial intelligence developers concluding the experiments were successful, in fact, were successful in carrying out their stakeholders' racist agenda. Artificial intelligence should enhance our quality of life. The problem is they're using it for an unethical purposes. Artificial intelligence can improve road safety, detect cancer, and help cure diseases. And who would deny the fact that the GPS, as a result of Gladys West's contribution, has been very helpful. Many times I got lost. It wasn't for the GPS, I would not have found my way back. However, that same technology can be used to track you and deprive you of privacy. But you don't fault the technology, you fault the teacher. The last time I was here, I also mentioned the difference between artificial intelligence and African intelligence. Artificial intelligence is intelligence mimicking human intelligence through repetition and using algorithms, a system of numbers. Artificial intelligence is mimicking us. African intelligence is Africans mimicking universal intelligence using repetition and algorithms, a system of numbers. Africans were mimicking the heavens, the universe, nature. The ancient Egyptians, who are Africans, looked to the heavens and nature for their guidance. The sun appeared to rise in the morning and set in the evening. They rose in the morning and went to sleep in the evening. In ancient times, to know God, you had to know numbers. Because the concept of God is infinite, and numbers are infinite. Numbers go on and on and on. Through the knowledge of math, the ancient Egyptians developed calendars, medicine, and made pyramids with precise measurements. The ancient Egyptians were so in tune with nature that their name for God was called Netzer, N-T-R. Removing the vowels in nature, you have Netzer, N-T-R. Africans were imitating the heavens and nature, Geb, the earth, and Ra, the sun. Their gods represented natural forces. Again, Africans were imitating the heavens and nature. AI is imitating humans. As I mentioned earlier, like our brain, the computer can only put out what you put in it. To build a computer equal to the average brain, it will have to be as tall as the Empire State Building. Where's your source, Brother Kevlon? World Book, Encyclopedia B, 1961, Under Brain, page 459. It says, or to build a computer equal to the average brain, it will have to be as tall as the Empire State Building. When people ask who is the smartest, computers or humans, I'm reminded of my dad. Peace be unto him. As a matter of fact, if he was alive, today would be his birthday. My dad and I were partners in a card game called Bid Whist. We were the best. We went throughout the hood, taking no prisoners. One day, in a string of wins, a player at the card table asked, "Between you and your dad, who is the best?" Before I got the answer, my dad interrupted and said, "Who was here first? Who was here first? You or AI?" Here's an example of where the human mind outsmarts AI. Here is an example where the human mind outsmarts AI. In 2009, Flight 1549, piloted by Captain Sully, made a forced water landing on the Hudson River in New York City. Taking off from LaGuardia Airport, Flight 1549 hit a flock of Canadian geese weighing approximately 10 to 18 pounds each. The birds went through both engines and caused dual engine loss. Captain Sully made the distress call. "Mayday! Mayday! Mayday! We've lost thrust in both engines." The air traffic controllers know only one script: find the nearest airport to land quickly. Pilots aren't trained for water landing. Therefore, a water landing wasn't in the script. The air traffic controller directed Captain Sully to head back to LaGuardia Airport. But when Captain Sully started to turn the plane around, he could not get altitude. He was flying low and slow. He was afraid he'd hit one of the buildings in New York, kill all the people in the building, people on the ground, and passengers on his flight. Captain Sully told the air traffic controller he couldn't make it to the LaGuardia. The air traffic controller then said, "Teterboro in New Jersey is open." Captain Sully responded, "I can't make it to Teterboro." "What do you suggest, Captain?" said the air traffic controller. Captain Sully thought about his 42 years of flying. He remembered the air crew ejection studies in his military days. He wondered why pilots waited so long before ejecting from planes that were about to crash. The answer is they feared telling their boss they ditched a multi-million-dollar jet and therefore tried to save the plane and lost their lives. He remembered in 1944, pilots successfully landed their plane on Virginia's James River. Then he remembered his call to duty, and that was to get these passengers back home safely to their families. The air traffic controller, yeah. Captain, you still there? Captain, what have you decided? Captain Sully answers, I'm going in the Hudson. That sounds like some John Wayne stuff, don't it? I'm going in the Hudson. Then Captain Sully cut the air controller off because he had a job to do. And not hearing from Captain Sully, the air traffic controller was worried the plane had crashed. Captain Sully made the announcement, brace! The stewardess, hearing brace for impact coming from the cockpit said, brace, brace, heads down, stay down. Brace, brace, heads down, stay down. Then Captain Sully, who knew he could make it, said to First Officer Stiles, my aircraft. First Officer Stiles responded, your aircraft. This was important protocol, ensuring they both knew who was flying that plane and who would handle the checklist. It also showed up on the black box who was to be held responsible. You know the rest of the story. Captain Sully landed the airplane on water, and all 155 passengers survived. However, that's not the end of the story. Afterwards, there was a human performance investigation performed by NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board. NTSB said Captain Sully risked people's lives, and there were other options. AIs, computer simulators, were able to land the plane successfully, safely at LaGuardia and Teterboro Airport. Thinking AI is smarter than you, most of you would probably have accepted NTSB's findings. However, here's the problem. This was a human performance investigation. Where was the human factor? What I mean is, AI was forewarned about a bird strike. AI was forewarned that both engines would be lost. AI was forewarned the options would be LaGuardia and Teterboro Airport. AI didn't have to go through the checklist because it knew in advance what was next. And how did AI know how to do a water landing when pilots get no training in water landing? How did AI know to drop the tail first and nose up to slow the plane down? The checklist was designed for when you're 20,000 feet in the air and have time to go through a checklist of 15 pages, for example. It wasn't designed for when you're 1,000 feet over George Washington Bridge, which is where Captain Sully was. the checklist was designed for 1,000 feet over the George Washington Bridge getting ready to land. You're supposed to take the opportunity, prepare to land. You don't have time to go through a checklist. Captain Sully made a decision that was at the bottom of the checklist, and that was to turn the APU on, which stands for Auxiliary Power Unit. He knew that was important because engines supply power to the electrical center with all its instruments. With both engines gone, so would his screen be gone and his instruments. Therefore, him turning the APU on immediately was crucial. That's not scripted. Only an experienced pilot would know how to do that, would know to do that. Sully was asked how he managed to make a near-perfect landing on water. His reply was, one way of looking at this might be that for 42 years, I've been making small, regular deposits into the bank of experience, education, and training. And on January 15th, the balance was sufficient so that I could make a very large withdrawal. AI would have done what robots do, follow the checklist in order, and turn the APU on later, which would have taken away valuable time, and the people on flight 1549 may have died. Sully's quick decision saved lives. After considering the human factor missing, the investigators had to impose a 35-second delay for decision-making. Once this was done, each simulator crashed, the one in LaGuardia and the one in Teterboro. NTSB determined without Captain Sully, without the human factor in question, instead of landing on the water, it most likely would have been a crash into the water. Captain Sully was considered a hero, regardless of nationality, race, skin color, religion, and political affiliation. If that was your loved one on flight 1549, you have to give Captain Sully his props. So the next time someone asks, who was smartest, humans or AI? Say to them, like my dad said, who was here first? With that said, Brother Marvin, I'm going to go through Slido and see if I can some of these questions. How do we develop an African perspective in America? How do we develop an African perspective in America? Well, regardless whether you're America or someplace else, because the neocolonialism or other things, you're still going to be go through some sort of miseducation. But you need to come to programs like this and listen to speakers like Dr. Bruce Bridges and others, and we got and be in a circle, being those who want to better themselves. How can I get a copy of your book? Well, Bob is going to talk about next month when we'll be speaking in person, and I'll have my books there. Next month, I'll have my books there. If you're not in the Richmond area, then contact Barbara, and somehow we'll get your information and I'll send you the book. Can you give some background information on the Black Log Dictionary that you reference? Can you give some background information on the Black Log? The Black Log Dictionary, if you read it, the dictionary had different definitions for in your traditional dictionary, like Webster's dictionary. You might have something in Webster that says, I may come to your house later, which means it's probable, not necessarily that I will come to your house later. Where if you look in Black Dog Dictionary, may might mean, yes, I will be there. So it's a political dictionary. It's a dictionary that lawyers and attorneys will use compared to your dictionary Webster of that nature. Computers are programmed by people. What is the difference between the two? That's why I like these comments instead of questions. Computers are programmed by people. What is the difference between the two? Some of these questions, y'all might have to help me on. Computers are programmed by people. What is the difference between the two? The difference is computers can't program us. We're programming computers. Computers can't program us. How do you suggest we utilize the ancient systems, strategies, and techniques that we have lost through time and enslaved? I think it's good that some of those techniques are lost, because we go back in the past and we want to stay in the past. We want to drive a camel today. Now you go back in the past to say that we did it, but you don't stay back there, because space and time is related. Anything stands still goes backwards. If I go back into yesterday and wear the outfit today, I'm going back. If I go back to yesterday and build things the way they did back then and bring today's time, I'm going back. You are responsible for the generation that you're in and project the future and try to work with those things. Like, so just you go back and say, like, I mean, was it Akbar? I mean, Akbar said that I don't want a camel. I want a fast-flying jet. This is 2024. So a lot of people talk about going back into the past. You go back to the past and know we did it and we can do it again. But the problem I have is that we get stuck in the past. If I came to the program in my Superfly outfit I had in the 70s, I'm going backwards. The mere fact that I'm standing still. If you're on a train going from Richmond, Virginia to Washington, D.C., if you look out the window, you realize the trees are going backwards. Literally, going backwards, because our motion is relative. And if they're standing still, going backwards. The mere fact the trees are standing still and the train is moving, you're going backwards. Because the train has moved from point A to point B. The train is also taking up time. It left at 1 o'clock. It doesn't get into North Carolina until 4 o'clock. So it's good. You go back into the past, but don't stay there. So I'm kind of glad we do have amnesia, that we don't remember everything we did. That way you get to start from fresh. Like I said earlier, most of my presentation starts with theories. So I know I always bring something new to the table, because I'm not copying something somebody else says. I have a theory, and once I put a theory out there, I have facts to support my theory. For example, I don't believe they went to the moon in 69. Now, and that's my opinion. I don't believe it. I believe that since then, they might have gone. But I don't believe they went in 69. I just don't believe it, because fact one, it says no wind up there, and the flag is moving. And when you ask them about it, they said the flag is moving because they put pins in to make the flag appear like it's moving. Why you do that? They're walking around with the flag is still moving. So what I'm saying is that regardless whether I'm right or not, I got one fact. You told us one thing, but then you got a flag that's moving that shouldn't be moving. So find some theories, something that you think it should happen, or something that you don't believe, or whatever, and then you get some facts to support your theory. That way you keep things fresh, and you're being current, and you also deal with the future, and you're not stuck in the past. You go back in the past and see that we built pyramids, we built great institutions, we're founding our spiritual systems, right? Now, how can you take those spiritual systems and put it in today's context? For example, for me, I think the emphasis should be on spirituality and not religion. Everything in the universe is a manifestation of the divine force in the universe. Therefore, everything interrelated and interdependent. Everything connected, everything is a whole. So religion is supposed to teach you about your spiritual union. It's supposed to teach you about the whole. Most religions don't want to work with the other one. Even in Christianity, don't mean to pick on Christianity, but when I heard of a non-denominational church, I wasn't recording what I was hearing. I thought when I go to the establishment, I was going to see Muslims, Christians, Jews, Hindus, atheists, agnostics, all in one room together. But now, what it was talking about was non-denomination within Christianity, where the Baptists, the Catholics, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witness, all of them worked together. But it wasn't going to work with the Muslims and the Jews and the Hindus and the Buddhists. So that would be me living in the generation that I am, which is different from back then in ancient times. I think that spirituality should be the umbrella. And for the future, if you're a Christian, be a good Christian. If you're Muslim, be a good Muslim. I'm not going to shun you because you don't believe what I believe. And you don't have to give up what you have to come into my house. You bring your rituals with you. So that's my thing. So to answer your question about how you suggest we utilize ancient systems, strategies, and techniques that we have lost through the time, get the foundation of those things that we lost, right? But develop theories and create new systems. Create systems that could help you in this time. We got computers today. We didn't have computers in 3500 before the Common Era. So you can't get stuck back there. You got computers today. So now you got to find out how are you going to navigate through the generation that you're in and put something forth for those to come after us. Stuff is broken, Mr. But I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I like comments because education has very little to do with what I give you. It has to do with what you give me. I impart information. Tap into the untapped potential in order to bring out that which is already in you. Brother Bruce, impart information. Tap into the untapped potential in order to bring out that which is already in you. Brother George, impart information. Tap into the untapped potential in order to bring out that which is already in you. I'm trying to get you, if I'm speaking for an hour or 2 hours, I do have a problem with constantly answering questions after 2 hours, because at what point do I know if anything I've said for 2 hours have reached you in any way? I remember when I was in high school, the teacher gave us assignments. She said, anybody who answers the assignment, you get 10 points on their test. Well, I can use 10 points. So all week long, I was starting to get the answer. Come Monday, I'm in the hallway. I asked anybody they had an answer. They didn't have an answer, right? So when time to go to class, I didn't want to raise my hand first because I didn't want to look like a know-it-all. The teacher said, who has the answer to my quiz? When no one raised their hand, I raised my hand slowly. The teacher recognized me, and I came up to the front. She said, come up to the front. I came up to the front. I showed my answer. You should have seen the smile on my face, her face. She said, this is good. This is very good. I said, but is it correct? She said, I don't know. I was hoping you find it. That's why I'm hard about answering questions and won't comment. Because ever since that day, the teacher didn't have the answer. She was trying to get me to bring her the answer. And that's why when I first started, I said, if Brother Reggie is on this program, I want him to call in, because he did start last week with some comments, some contributions. And that's why I want to hear. Let me see. Do you believe humans are programming other humans? Do you believe humans are miseducation of a Negro? Go ahead and give miseducation of a Negro. Do you believe humans are programming other humans? Go ahead and give miseducation of a Negro by Carl J. Wilson. What's your definition of spirituality I gave you there? Spirituality. Everything in the universe is a manifestation of the divine force in the universe. Everything is interrelated and interdependent. Everything is connected. Everything is whole. What spiritual is not so much everything as a whole. What's spiritual is your relationship to the whole. These religions do not preach their relationship to the whole. They preach so much how you're different from the other one. And they get behind the pulpit. If you're not one of those preachers that do that, I'm not talking about you. They get around those pulpits and they bash other religions. And that's not what it's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about working towards, we're all part of this worldwide web of interrelationship and interdependencies. We're all part of the whole. So if you don't have a program that's connecting us as one, then you need to throw it in the trash can. I said it respectfully. Why do you feel they changed the decision of the pilot in the scenario that you provided? Why do you feel they challenged the decision of the pilot? Oh, because, all right, that's a good question. Why do you feel they challenged the decisions of the pilot in the scenario that you provided? Because he didn't crash the plane into the Hudson. He drove it deliberately and not in the Hudson, on the Hudson. So we're talking about a $1 billion airplane. Insurance companies have to cover that. And so if he can't justify why he did what he did, if there were alternative routes and they could prove it, they would let the insurance company off the hook, which means that Captain Sully would have been financially liable for what he did, for all the damage on the plane. He would have lost his house, wife, married, divorced, and he would have all over. So anytime that somebody has to pay the bad guy, those people in the panel, they don't want to do that. But anytime a plane crash, somebody is going to ask you a series of questions, make sure you go right by the guideline. Now, one thing he didn't do, he did not follow the script, because I think it's maybe 15 pages. The APU, I don't know what APU, I would think it's something like a generator. The APU is at the back of the book. As he followed the script, because a lot of times they try to get you to see if you follow the script. He followed the script except for that part right there. He had to turn the APU on, because when the engines are gone, next thing is gone is going to be his panel, his the lights, all his measurements, how fast he's going, the tail wing, all those things are done electronically. So the first thing he did was turn, I think I said APU, was APU? Yeah, first thing he did was turn on the APU, the auxiliary something. He turned that on first. And that made sure, I'm guessing it's something like if your power guard in your house and you don't want your stuff in your refrigerator to go bad, you turn that generator on. So what he did was he turned that on. That's about the only thing he did that wasn't in order. But if he hadn't done that, the people would be dead. So the National Board of Chairman, he made the right decision. Artificial intelligence wouldn't have done that, because artificial intelligence does not deviate from what's been programmed. They stay the course. All a human being will realize at a particular time, I know what the book says, but this has to be done. That's what Captain Sully did. I appreciate the person who says, I enjoy your style. I appreciate the comments. I appreciate it. All right, brother Marvin, see if you got Reggie on there with some comments, or somebody who got some comments.
All right. First of all, I'd like to thank Brother Kevin Lynn for a very informative. Man, I just like when you come on. This is the online classroom. It's about education, right? And we're doing a great job of doing that. So thank you, brother, for that. I got Brother Reg on the line. Let me see if I can get him in. Brother Reg, are you there?
Hey, what's happening, my brother? How you doing?
Hey, brother, I don't know you, but last time you had a comment and you had a few things you wanted to offer. So I'm trying to teach me something. I don't have monopoly on intelligence. I want somebody to teach me something.
Hey,
so what
brother,
have you found in your research? Anything?
Hey, man, God has got you, bro. Hey, and it was a very interesting parallel that you presented to everybody out there today. I'm hoping the spirit was flowing, that they received it, because, like I said, it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the AI perspective, definitely for today's time, but what we're going through here, it's the teacher. It's not the AI concept, because mm-hmm. as you took us back to as above, so below,
yeah.
it's what we're teaching and what we're receiving out of the AI. Because
yeah.
As we're looking at what we're learning out here now, it's the computer can't teach us. It's what we're putting in. It's
yeah.
what we go and get miseducated out here in the colleges. There's nothing wrong with the curriculum. It's what we take and use the curriculum out here at, and forgetting who we are, the God in us, opening our pineal gland to how we use it in our communities and with our people and the knowledge of our spiritual concept. You alluded to that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If we get caught up in denominational or European perspectives instead of some of people, as you were talking about your father, who was first. We won't even accept our own spiritual concept. We'll take the European one and fight about it. So, brother, your parallel, the God in you, is manifesting and sharing with us. So it's not even what we look at as the AI, man. As we were talking about in the last time, which I got so much out of that concept that you were bringing about. And I cherish that in the project that I'm even working here. We're fighting about a $2 million concept that the God in me or the God above worked through me to run a health clinic in our neighborhood, and the hospital here threw $2 million on the table. But everybody, even the black ones, coming, why are you fighting it? Why are you fighting it? Why? Because of the programming that need to go in the community where they accept our insurances, where we have people on the advisory board that help shape the narrative coming from within rather than that coming from without. I'm not fighting, like you said, the artificial intelligence of it, but the narrative. Which way is it coming from? You know, that's the, like you were saying, brother, you know, you're teaching it, and you often allude, and we both often allude to Brother Marvin program, opening up this dialogue and this conversation that we can be real. We don't have to have a stereotype program that is the same loop of the conversation that you can't say but so much what the Jewish point of view say that the conversation has to be on TV. So, like you said, it's the teacher, not the format that's being used, brother. So I'm liking what you're doing, and like Brother Minister Farrakhan, bro, you know, your speaking engagement, man, it's not the same thing, brother, because the spirit flowing through you, man, because your pineal gland is opening and is open, and what you're presenting and bringing out, it's what we have to incept upon ourselves and share. That recapturing African mind. It's not the artificial intelligence that somebody is shaping for us. And I'm just so glad that I can, when I can be on this program just to listen, I get so much out of it, man, because, I just appreciate it. So I appreciate Brother Marvin calling me to ask me to take a chance to be up here today, because I was kind of busy, but just thank you, guys, man, that the Netters.
Well, I asked for you, brother.
Huh?
I asked for you. I told Brother Marvin Carr, I asked for you. I told him I want you on the program.
Hey, man.
I asked for you yesterday.
So much, man.
Yeah.
That's that God connection that
yeah.
we are being blessed with so much, man. And I just thank you for being a part of what you're doing, that interesting parallel, man. See, they talking about, oh, man, the preacher preached one today, and he said the same old verses. I'm not coming down on the preachers or whatever, but
yeah.
it's what they putting out there, bro. Like you say, it's that teacher. What are you feeding the people? What are you feeding them? You know, well, brother, you're laying it down.
Let me comment on your comments, because when I ask for comments, like, it doesn't mean I don't have the opinion. I want to hear your comments, because based on what you just said now, I can extrapolate and draw things from what you just said, right? When you're talking about, like, for example, Gladys West, she was very instrumental in the GPS. But she
mm-hmm.
said she did something before that, right? If they
mm-hmm.
do something to our detriment, you can't fault Gladys for that.
because she had good intentions for what she did. Now somebody come along and take that same thing and use it our detriment, you came for Gladys. See? So what you said something earlier about overseeing some projects, I'm going to give you an example. That's why I won't comment, because once you comment, it doesn't mean I'm not going to respond. I respond to comments like I do questions, right? Here's an example. You got 100 people on death row, 50 whites and 50 blacks. All of them committed crime. All of them got executed, right? So AI would say the system is just. If 50 blacks, 50 whites, all of them committed the crime. But if you look closely, that what you, the human factor, what Brother Reggie says, let me be on the panel when y'all do this program, right? The human factor said, no, y'all got to look at the victim. Yes, they all committed crimes, but the blacks got executed for killing whites. The whites got executed for killing whites. But the blacks and whites that killed blacks, they got life in prison. AI ain't going to pick that up. It's a human factor who has to be on these boards and look at the program, and you got to be constant. You got to know who you are first, right, to tell whether the program is racist or not, whether it's for your betterment or for your or it's detrimental to you. That's why when you said you got to be on these programs, yeah, you give me this money, right, but, I mean, you might be putting something out there right there to my detriment, because I've seen it many times in these schools.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I understand that's right. Teaching because it came from the school board.
Yeah. Yeah. All that good is ain't gold, what the old folks used to say. You know?
Another thing too, brother, actually, I'm a better card player than my dad. I taught my dad how to play, and I was going to say I'm the best player, but my dad interrupted and said, who was there first? So, because he's older than me, thinking he was the best, but actually I was the best.
I understand what the fellow was meaning, though. You know what I mean, brother? Some of the old folks, man, sometimes we'd be saying some of the old slang. Because in the meeting we were having just night before last, some people were complaining about movements that had been going on that hadn't even been coming to the meeting. And I looked over one person, I said, help me, Lord. You know, some of the old folks, you know what I'm saying, bro?
Some of the old folks, man,
had old log, you know, old sayings that they were really just down to earth. And when you think of a sar and a set and how the story just extrapolated down to even where we are now, like Brother Bruce came down when they was talking about how does culture have to do with health and wellness, and it was a sister sitting there, the chairperson, and he came in there, man, and did a synopsis of it all, and then the person in the room, white or black, have a question or response to deal with
Brother Reggie, with all respect, and I apologize. Mob, you got some message trying to get in? Let me get in.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Let me squeeze Brother Booker in here.
Thank you,
Brother Reg.
Okay, man.
All right, Brother
Kevin,
I'm going to get back to you for final comments.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Reg. All right, Brother Booker.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Brother Reg said, mention
the God in you. What's your comment on that? I know you got some things to share. What you got for us?
Well, let me go back to the one first. The one we've sort of hit on today is number six. The one always stands for what he knows is right, even if you have to stand alone. Okay? The one,
like
that's
that.
The God in you. You stand for what you know is right, even if you have to stand by yourself. It's the correlation to the Jesus story. Nobody did it but him. If I have to stand, I know I'm right. I know I'm godly. I'm correct. I'm going to stand by this if I'm standing by myself. That's the one. And ask yourself this question about artificial intelligence. It's not real intelligence. That's why we called it artificial intelligence.
Okay?
Great point.
Artificial intelligence. It is not real. Okay? Artificial intelligence is the white man's way of continuing to try to become God. It's his way of trying to replace us in his job market with artificial intelligence. I saw some other night even come about artificial AI bartenders. AI bartenders, okay? So in a little while, you already got the cars that are driving themselves. I'm eliminating jobs. And we had a discussion at work this week. I said, you know, our true freedom, if we were truly free as a people, this system would be destroyed. Our freedom will destroy this system. And all the folk that I had that conversation with agreed with me. I also said, understand this. If the white man, excuse me, mama, if the white man didn't want niggers killing niggers, niggers would not be killing niggers. Okay? Artificial intelligence is artificial. It's not real. And as the brother mentioned earlier, our mind, the God in us, the greatness in us, that's the intelligence. That's who we are. That's what we need. We can't get caught up in the bowl, in the hoopla. What the Bible said, the devil will do what? Deceive the world, if he already hasn't. And artificial intelligence is part of that deception. That's all it is, brother. That's all it is. It's the devil's attempt to become God. All right, brother. Thank you.
All right.
Peace,
thank you,
everybody,
brother Booker,
out there within the sound of my voice. Yes, sir. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you. Peace and blessings. Thank you. Brother Kevlin, final comments. We got you coming to Richmond. All right. He's going to be here in person at the Richmond Public Library, the downtown branch, on Saturday, February 10th. So come out and join us for that if you're in Richmond or you want to make the trip. Final comments from you, Brother Kevin Lane, before we wrap up for today. Thank you for part two.
I just want to say thanks for inviting me, and I appreciate those participators. I definitely appreciate the comments, and Brother Reggie, he was on point, and Brother Booker always. Just thank you. That's all.
Thank you, sir. Another great show, another great opportunity to learn and to grow. We applaud you, Brother Kevin Lane, for your commitment. Brother Kevin Lane will be live at the Richmond City Public Library downtown, 1 p.m. on Saturday, February the 10th, as a part of our Black History series. And then the 24th of February, we'll have Dr. Bruce live as well. So we'll do two live empowerment shows on Saturdays in the month of February to celebrate Black African American History, African History Month. So you won't want to miss that. Also, we'll be promoting that as a Zoom and online as well. So if you can't make one, you can make the other. But we love to see you in person. Also, if you want to get a copy of Brother Kevlin's book, please reach out to me as well. It's been a great show. It's one thing that we can take away from this artificial intelligence is that Brother Booker hit it on the head. It's artificial. You are natural intelligence, God-given, in the likeness of the Creator. Let's begin to use that, because it is the human factor that really counts. So let's begin to reclaim our humanity by becoming the best people that we can be today, each day, every day, and one day at a time. It's African American Empowerment Saturdays, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Peace and blessings. We'll see you next week.